It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, October 2nd. I'm Patricia Naft. A federal judge ruled yesterday against the city of Grand Junction in their panhandling case. KVNF's Jake Ryan talked with Mark Silverstein with the American Civil Liberties Union, who brought the suit against the city.
Why did the ACLU initially bring this case against Grand Junction?
Grand Junction was preparing a ordinance to regulate panhandling, and someone in the city attorney's office sent us a draft and asked what we thought. We replied that it would violate the First Amendment and they shouldn't pass it. No one engaged with us on it, and the city council proceeded to enact the ordinance, and so we brought a legal challenge because the First Amendment protects the right of people to peacefully and politely ask for charity in a public place.
The town, though, definitely seemed like they were going against aggressive panhandling, panhandling that I guess crosses that invisible line somewhere.
Well, they said they were going against aggressive panhandling, but the ordinance that they passed prohibited a significant amount of peaceful, polite, non-threatening, and non-intrusive requests for charity.
Could you explain the court's reasoning in this case?
What the court said is that a regulation of panhandling like Grand Junction's is considered content-based, meaning that whether speech is regulated or not regulated depends on what a person says in a public place. For a police officer to decide whether the ordinance was violated or not, the police officer had to examine the actual content of the person's message. And that kind of regulation, the courts have said, when it's content-based, has to be subjected to the most careful judicial scrutiny. And regulations like that can be justified only by the most compelling government interest, and they have to be very narrowly tailored to advance that interest. On the narrow tailoring question, the court said that Grand Junction was using a sledgehammer to attack a problem that needed a scalpel.
All right. Well, I guess Grand Junction's going to have to go back to the board and figure something else out.
I think so.
All right, Mark. Well, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for your interest.
That was KVNF's Jake Ryan and Mark Silverstein discussing the ACLU's victory in court against Grand Junction's panhandling ordinance. The 2014 ordinance was never enforced while litigation was pending. A representative of the city council declined to comment until after the next council meeting next Monday. The Colorado Supreme Court plans to adopt a new set of rules regarding a public access to the Judicial Department's administrative records. As Benta Berkland reports, media organizations are pushing for more transparency. A public hearing is scheduled for today.
Because of some recent court decisions, the judicial branch was not subject to the Colorado Open Records Act passed in 1969. It covers public access to state agencies, the legislature, and governor's office.
The public ought to be entitled to know. If it was a different type of state agency, they would be entitled to know.
Jeff Roberts heads the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition. The state Supreme Court will adopt new rules, but his organization, along with other media groups, say it wouldn't require the judicial branch to give the same level of detail as other agencies. Media organizations are pushing for changes and say the rules would also increase the time limit that the judicial branch can take to respond and wouldn't put a cap on research and retrieval charges. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Creating a work of art can be challenging in its own right, but when you leave the comfort of the art studio for the obstacles of the great outdoors, you've got plein air painting. And as KUNC's Stacy Nick reports, combining the uncertainty of the elements with paint and brush is part art, part endurance sport.
The sights, sounds, and colors are what plein air painting, which is French for open air, is all about. And it's what has drawn Mary Giacomini to the Poudre Canyon.
I just love being able to be outside like this and listening to the river or listening to the birds and just kind of get lost.
Giacomini has set up her easel alongside the Poudre River, high up the canyon. Shaded by her umbrella, her head tilts back and forth as her eyes go from the canvas to the rushing river in front of her. And the river isn't the only thing moving fast.
2 weeks ago I came out and it was sunny in the morning and I had the most beautiful shadows at 7 a.m. It lasted maybe a half hour, 45 minutes, and they were gone completely.
Time is not a luxury when your model is always on the move. At most, plein air painters have about 3 hours to get a painting done, start to finish.
It's stressful, but kind of in an adrenaline way, so you just want to kind of keep going. It's a challenge, and I like a challenge.
On this morning, rain kept some artists, who are meeting up for a paint-out as part of the Paint the Pooter art show and sale, at home. But not Giacomini. She was in place by 6:30, armed and ready for whatever Mother Nature had in store.
I've done the snow, I've done rain, I've done wind. This is pretty perfect right now.
How do you do in snow?
Try not to think about how cold you are. It's not my favorite time to paint.
But at least then, there aren't any bugs to contend with.
Mosquitoes and the little flies are probably the worst.
That's Loveland painter Jennifer Klein.
And gnats really get in the paint a lot. And so you just say, okay, I have some birds flying in the sky. The gnats are stuck in the... Or some fish swimming. A good way to prove it's plein air.
Of course, sometimes you have to deal with something a little bigger than a mosquito.
I was painting up at, I think, at Elkhorn Ranch in Estes Park one time with a group. This pot-bellied pig came because it's the big farm, and he was huge. I didn't realize that I had an apple in the outside of my backpack that he went right for, so we had a little altercation. Then the next thing I know, here comes this miniature donkey. I think the pot-bellied pig went down and told the donkey, look, go up there, she's got apples, you know.
And while her four-legged altercation was funny, Klein says it's the two-legged ones that cause her more concern.
It's people you can't normally hear because they walk so softly and they don't want to disturb you, and then all of a sudden they say something and you go,
kind of like I did.
Yeah.
Then again, you don't always choose your location. Sometimes it chooses you. Marie Massey set up at a scenic pull-off to capture her view.
Trucks keep coming by. It's pretty loud, but, you know, the water drowns it out, so it's pretty nice, yeah. And that's just captivating there with all that white water. I couldn't pass that up. When I see something that captivates me, then I have to paint it. I don't like to waste my time painting something that's not that interesting. And this is very interesting.
Holding onto her canvas with one hand and a paintbrush in the other, it's clear there is one more challenge to plein air painting. One that all of these artists seem to agree on.
The wind.
Wind?
The wind is actually the worst.
The wind is the worst, because the wind will blow you over.
It's all part of the allure. For KUNC, I'm Stacy Nick.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.